Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What did CES 2023 deliver and not deliver over the future of television? How you watch and use it. Mediaville's technology columnist Jeff Minsky was in person at the planet's biggest consumer electronics spectacle. He lived to tell the tale, and he joins me next. Also ahead, Netflix takes the upfront streets in NYC. Morgan Freeman makes a drama series move. Move over, smart TV players. Sharp is back. And our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I'm presented on Spotify, the iRadio Podcast Network, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and other leading podcast avenues. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on this Friday afternoon. Third of three episodes coming your way this week. It is the program about TV's current and future, and a lot of today is all about the future of television, and we're happy to have you all aboard. 49 degrees, top of the hour here in New York. Rain is gone, still very murky, gray, cloudy outside. Hopefully better times ahead this weekend and next week, and we want you to be part of the program. Get interactive with us. How? Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, we got a chat room of business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. Get into it through our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Call the instructions to be live with you. Jeff Minsky is back from CES 2023. He'll join us here in the New York area after these news notes. Now that Netflix has a format with limited commercial interruption, time for the mega content venture to spread the news and grow this business in public. On May 17th, Netflix will stage its first presentation during the annual week of upfront events here in New York. This one, originating from the Paris Theater near Central Park, which incidentally Netflix owns, the long-running showcase of CBS, then Viacom CBS, and last spring, Paramount, on the week's event calendar. Instead, Paramount will hold a series of industry debriefs at various locations. So far, NBC Universal is the only TV programmer besides Netflix to declare they will have a mid-May TV upfront event. We'll keep you posted who else will join them. It's a rare sight for Morgan Freeman to lend more than his voice to a TV production on a recurring basis. Now the Oscar-winning actor declared this morning he will act opposite fellow Oscar winner Nicole Kidman in Lioness. CIA drama series that Taylor Sheridan, is supervising for Paramount Plus. Freeman's role, the U.S. Secretary of State. Lioness is expected to premiere this fall. Sharp, an early smart TV player early last decade that dropped that business in recent years, is set to re-enter the U.S. smart scene. The company will debut a group of six TV set models in the coming months, all embedded with Roku as the operating system. Sharp, once Japanese-owned, is now majority controlled by Chinese manufacturer Foxconn, who also works with Apple. Phineas and Ferb fans, rejoice. 40 new episodes of your favorite tune are on the way to a Walt Disney-run service thanks to a new series development partnership with co-creator Dan Povenmire. In addition to new P&F adventures, Povenmire will oversee a second season of current Disney Channel hit tune Hamster and Gretel and, for the first time, create new live-action series. Now, some quickies for you. Sons of Anarchy sequel series Mayans MC will end with its fifth FX season later this year. Paramount Plus will produce a made-for-TV movie version of former live-action Nickelodeon series Zoe 101. Here's your final scripted series universe tally of 2022. 599 series launched or continued their existence on a linear, on-demand, or mega-content service. New nature series Underdogs, overseen and narrated by Ryan Reynolds as production company Maxim Effort, will come to National Geographic later this year. Prepare for a new music-minded competition series reaching people through Apple TV+. My Kind of Country, co-hosted by Reese Witherspoon and Casey Musgraves, begins March 24th. And Up Here, Hulu's own musical rom-com series, will start also on March 24th. And that is news notes for today. So far this week, our episodes have focused on TV's current. You know, our program has two mandates for you, showcase both TV's current and future. Well, on the current side, we led off Monday's episode and our week's group of triple header episodes with Jeb Stuart, the executive producer and showrunner of Vikings Valhalla, that premiered yesterday, its second season on Netflix. And yesterday, if you missed it, we had a whale of an interview with the acclaimed actress Annabeth Gish, the co-star of Anne Rice's Mayfair Wishes, which had a great season premiere and series premiere this past Sunday night on AMC, AMC Plus, Sundance TV, BBC America, and IFC. It now settles into its regular run, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on AMC and AMC Plus this Sunday night. And if you missed that interview, which was really fantastic, I know Annabeth liked it very much. We had a great, great time. Check out our homepage after we do this episode. That's blogofracecom/televised. Check out our podcast sites and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Today, it's all about TV's future. How are we going to watch and use TV? How are we going to get more interactive? Our smart TV sets are going to become smart TV home and apartment hubs. Well, to find out about that, starting with what transpired and didn't transpire at the recent CES 2023 show in Las Vegas, we have a wonderful guest back with us. He is the technology columnist for Media Village, the Media Leadership website. Joining us live from Livingston, New Jersey, Jeff, welcome back from CES, and a very happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, Simon. It's good to speak with you again.
It is. Same here, too, Jeff. And, Jeff, first of all, what was the vibes like at CES 2023? This was, according to their organizers, the Consumer Technology Association, the big return post-pandemic of their event, with about 100,000 people or more attending and 3,200-plus exhibitors.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think without question, everybody was incredibly grateful to be back. I think after last year's very, very large letdown, you know, everything really was pointing last year for that to be the comeback year. And then I think it was 2 or 3 weeks prior, maybe a little bit longer, is when Omicron started, the variant started to spread, and people from across the spectrum, exhibitors, attendees, left and right started to cancel, which basically netted out, I think, a 42,000 attendee last year. So to get back to 100, 110,000 attendees this year, I'm sure the organizers are very grateful. It also, frankly, made for a very manageable CES. Normally, pre-pandemic, you were about 188,000 attendees. And, you know, the waits in line for a taxi or waiting for your Uber and managing through crowds was incredibly difficult, you know, all around. And so 100,000, 110,000 attendees made it, you know, the space in the exhibit halls, there was plenty of space to walk around. It gave time to actually talk to some of the people who were exhibiting without, you know, massive crowds. Although I will get into this a little bit later, mention that Samsung was the exception to that, in part because I believe for both liability and for COVID reasons, they were limiting the amount of people in their exhibit space at any given time. So there was a fairly dramatic line to get into the Samsung exhibit on the show floor. But look, the vibe definitely was good. The vibe was excitement about innovation. The theme that the organizers, I'm going to paraphrase here, was technology for the benefit of humanity. And really, I think they were trying to go for the idea that with the past year, all the negativity around technology companies like a Meta or a Google or you know, all the winter crypto crash, the crypto winter, I think that they wanted to position this as, look, of course technology has its challenges and some companies are more challenged than others, but there is incredible benefit to technology, and they were highlighting a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. When it came to television, specifically smart TV functionality, interactive services, and the possibility that we are now entering an era where smart television sets, the television sets that now 90% of the general public use, smart sets and devices, I should say, are on the way to becoming hubs to control other aspects of your home or apartment, whether it's your other appliances, whether it's air conditioning, lighting, home security, emergency services, the front door, et cetera. What were your one or two takeaways of what was showcased?
Well, sure. So I will, this might disappoint a little bit. There wasn't so much new. Last year was the year where everybody, all the TV manufacturers were announcing their integration of gaming services, over-the-air gaming services. Or NFT integration, so now you can buy and sell NFTs on your television set. And there was a lot of healthcare announced last year as well. You just saw the same this year. There was spotlighting of that. But, you know, there was nothing that was incredibly across the board different. Yes, a lot of the television sets, and I think this was one of the – there were two takeaways on television. Number one was very clear, and that is that, to your point, there are multiple services available. It's not just for passive viewing anymore. And there is now I'm blanking out on which manufacturer announced it, but built-in co-viewing of television. So you can watch with your friends whatever you're watching. You can invite them to a watch party. So that's evolving. That's integrated. And to your point, there is the ability to watch, you know, the Ring doorbell. You can see who's at your door, front door through your TV. You can monitor various rooms through your television if you have the camera set up in the rooms. The overarching theme was that the TV manufacturers are now actually becoming the lead in distribution on content. That was one of the themes in television. So we can dive into that a little bit. And then there's the idea of the FAST services that have been coming up left and right on them. And there was an announcement, I believe Pluto TV announced, they're adding 100 channels to LG's LG channels, which is their free ad-supported television live stream services. So you have definitely saw the major brands doubling down on that. You saw an announcement from Paramount Plus that they were expanding into the UK and Ireland with LG, and that was going to be their first global expansion. So that was a big announcement on that level. And I think the real thing when you talk about television and CES this year was the huge surprise that Sony didn't show a new TV. Now, in my 20-plus odd years of going to CES, that has never happened. That, you know, and I think for the takeaway that I, the insight I gleaned from television in general at CES, there is absolutely nothing left to be done to the hardware of television. It's now QD-OLED, meaning quantum dot and OLED. OLED giving you the deepest, purest black. Quantum dot giving you the brightest set that you can get. And now most manufacturers, with the exception of some of the Chinese companies like TCL and Hisense, have gone to the QD-OLED level, which is basically integrating both. Incredibly high contrast and incredibly deep blacks. So that's amazing, and that's great. In fact, I think the LG sets are now going to be 70% brighter now that they've implemented QD, or their version they call brightness booster, into the set. But the hardware, we've bent the screen, we've curved the screen, we've bent it back, we've turned it around, we've scrolled it. There's nothing left to be done to a television screen. So where the innovation, and this is sort of what I was talking to some marketers about when I was in Vegas, is if you think of a television as a body, a heart, and a soul, the body being the frame and the glass, the heart being the processing chip, and the soul being the content and the user interface, my feeling is that we will continue to see and will have seen an incredible concentration on the soul of television, and there's nothing really left to be done to the body of television.
In a moment, we're going to talk to Jeff about more about the OG situation with Paramount, with a Pluto TV. And I caught that. And I also want to talk about LG and Samsung and Hisense presentation. And I have this question to raise. Did they blow the story? Did they bury the story that they were supposed to run? And if so, why? And also, why didn't Vizio show up? And what about Roku's place? And what about the Zumo venture between Comcast and Charter? Where were they? And also the Sharp's, and I want to get Jeff's reaction to the Sharp re-emergence into the smart TV picture that we had in our news notes. Jeff Nipsky is Media Village's chief technology columnist. You can catch his work at MediaVillage.com, and he's our guest for the full hour. This hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm on with you live from New Weber, York. Happy to have you aboard this Friday afternoon. Hope your week is wrapping up well and getting ready for a fantastic weekend. 46 degrees at this moment in the hour. Cloudy here in the NYC metro area. Of course, your comment for Jeff, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, we'll be back next week, Monday and Friday. That's Monday and Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. We'll let you know who our guests are, hopefully this weekend or early on in this coming week. And we hope you tune in. In the meantime, you can catch up on all our episodes at blogtalkradio.com/televised, our great and expanding lineup of podcast affiliates, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, Acast, Podvine.com, etc., and our website, that's Tomorrow Will Be Televised, /onpodium.com. How much discussion, Jeff, was the idea of the smart TV set makers now creating their own channel? I mean, Samsung now creates its own channel. Vizio creates its own channel with its own original content. LG, you mentioned. And the LG presentation that took place a week ago Wednesday, media presentation, what was really amazing is here's Tom Ryan, the head of Paramount's mega content and mega content delivery, Pluto TV, Paramount, and so forth. He comes out to say, well, LG is going to supply us 100 channels over the course of the coming months. He doesn't say what channels. He doesn't say if there are any of them original or carry unique content. And he does the Paramount thing with the UK, and then he walks off. Was there a lot of talk? First of all, was there a lot of talk about the role that smart TV set makers are playing as their own channel makers or content makers? And were you surprised that Tom Ryan just had the two-sentence appearance at that media day presentation? Out he went.
So I'll start with the last one first. I wasn't surprised because these CES presentations, when they bring in other outside people to talk about these things, they don't really get into tremendous detail. They really do always generally talk in broad strokes. And I think that, he came out, he made the announcements. It was fine. I think that, in the forthcoming days, weeks, we'll get more clarity on what those channels actually are. I wouldn't anticipate that those channels will be originals. I think they're all going to be part of whatever currently exists or repackaged. Some of them might be dedicated. There are channels on some of the fast services that are dedicated to one show or one series of shows like Star Trek. So I'm not quite sure exactly what Paramount is thinking in the new channels, but I do know that there will be 100, and that will add to this concept of the TV manufacturer usurping the cable operators when it comes to distribution of content. And I think that's the big story. The story is not just about apps on your TV set, but it's television networks that are being distributed now, avoiding the middleman, going directly to the screen. And I think people forget that the reason the TV manufacturers are doing this, they're waking up to the fact that there's a revenue stream. There's no question about that, the idea of being able to sell advertising within those live channels. And that advertising is starting to scale up, especially as linear television ratings come down. But it's still a pittance compared to what they're making by selling a television set. And I think we as marketers in the advertising community have to recognize and remember that, sometimes interests align, sometimes they don't. And in this case, it's in the interest of the manufacturer to provide the widest swath, especially in the era of unbundling and in the area of cord cutting, to have the widest swath of networks available to their audiences. And, I think I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that Vizio was the first out of the gate with doing live channels.
Right, they were.
But, right. And so, they started this, and then Samsung and LG had to quickly follow, as well as I'm sure you'll start to see some deals cut with TCL Hisense as well. And you've got the Roku channel as part of that, and Roku is a big partner of both TCL and Hisense. But so Xfinity Flex, last year announced their Comcast set with Hisense. So they're a part of this as well. Hisense also has their Vida OS, please forgive my pronunciation if I'm mispronouncing. But the big announcement here is, that interface has been an OS that's been going across Europe and Latin America for the past few years, hasn't had traction in the U.S. It's now coming to the U.S. So I think that is yet another thing. So I think from the concentration from a marketer and advertising perspective, it is all about the OS. It's all about the channels, and that will continue to grow. Now, one topic that you didn't mention that we probably should talk about is the rise of China and how we've seen that over the past decade at CES. The CES floor has always been indicative of geopolitical and you can always tell. It's just very interesting tracing back the history of the television industry from a manufacturer standpoint and who's been growing and who's been shrinking. And, you know, you go back to the early days, America, RCA, Magnavox, that dominated the CES floor. Then a few decades later in the 70s and 80s, you had the rise of Japan with Sony, Hitachi and others, Toshiba. And then you saw that sort of fade, and you saw South Korea with LG and Samsung completely dominate the space. And now what you're seeing, and we can talk about this probably in a couple of minutes, is if you look at Samsung and LG and what they're showing in their exhibits at CES, which used to be predominantly televisions. It used to be, again, the OLED screens from LG and how they scroll and up, and Samsung would always show your curved screens and how you can curve them back, and they had their wall and their piece of art. I forget the frame, the Samsung frame that looked like a piece of art when it wasn't being utilized. There was very little of that this year. This year, LG did show a wireless TV, which I'm still trying to get my arms around why that's a benefit. Basically, they've taken the guts of the television, they've put it into a box that sort of looks like an Xbox, for lack of a better, just to give you the description of the size, and it can beam the picture to your television set, so the only cord you have on your TV is your power cord. That's fine. I guess there's some use cases for that, but in a rapidly app-based, Wi-Fi-based world, I'm not even sure exactly what that does. So that was really the only kind of innovation when it came to a television set from the major players. You start to look at what they were really showing. Both of them were talking quite a bit about their sustainability and about their goals to achieve energy neutrality by 2030. And I think that was, an indication. Look, it's great. I know that there are plenty of cohorts and generations, all of us should want the recycling and sustainability. That's terrific. But for that to be the main story that Samsung was telling the CES indicates that we're still suffering from supply chain and we're still suffering from innovation issues caused by the pandemic. And so that's one thing. But what you are going back to the geopolitics here, what you are most definitely seeing is the rise of China. We've seen it for the past decade, and the Chinese television sets started out in a small corner of Central Hall. Then they took up a little bit more space, and now the TCL and the Hisense spaces were as large, if not larger, than Samsung and LG. And without question, they were focused on television where the others weren't so much. And I think that, combined with what you were talking about before about how the television is evolving and it is now managing every aspect of our lives and is the data that's being produced by television, the ACR, automated content recognition data, that every television set is producing, which is incredibly valuable. But now we have to ask ourselves, if there is so much concern about TikTok and the data that produces, because it's a Chinese-owned company, is the marketplace now going to turn to televisions because it's producing a ton of data as well? And as you mentioned, can see who's coming to your home, can check the Ring doorbells, that kind of thing, can know your energy outputs. Is that data that we need to be concerned about in the current times that we live in that are being produced by these television manufacturers that are not just selling 1,000, 10,000 sets, but are selling literally millions and millions of sets in the U.S. to the point where Roku continues to say, I'm still not positive this is accurate, that they're the number one selling OS and they're mostly on TCL sets. So I think there's a lot of insights that we got during CES and a lot of questions that raised about the television industry and the data it's producing. And a lot of it does go back to what is our relationship with China these days and what will it be in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, and by the way, TikTok is getting on more smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And I understand that has become a major thing at TikTok to do. So we're going to see when the digital content new fronts happen, where they will make more of a point that TikTok is a smart TV deal rather than a smartphone deal or a deal you get on some other device. And of course, the Sharp situation we announced in news notes at the top of the hour also plays in this also. I mean, Sharp has been out of the TV picture in the United States for years, and now they're back in. I want to get back.
Well, I just hope that they actually fix their audio, because that was their big glitch on Sharp televisions, is their television picture was phenomenal. I forget what the Elcos or something they used to call it, Aquos. But their sound
right,
was terrible.
Sell, by the way, across other parts of the world.
Yeah, but their sound was terrible. So I hope they're improving upon the sound if they're coming back.
Mm-hmm. All right, we will see. Like they used to say, from sharp minds come sharp products, and we'll see if they do that. Let's talk about these Media Day presentations that the smart TV set makers did, particularly LG, Samsung, Hisense, and others. What seemed to come out, and I watched this, by the way, from afar back here in New York, so I got the video feed, is that the people making the presentation and the marketing, public relations, et cetera, of the various set makers were operating in two different worlds, and they did not connect with each other. I wanted to share with you and our audience, these are some of the announcements that were made in LG's presentation, aside from, these are about smart TV innovations, aside from the deal with Pluto TV and Paramount. For example, we're launching an LG Labs to explore new directions. Didn't say much about it, whether television was going to be involved with it. They're going to launch the GeForce Now gaming service from NVIDIA and other additions to their game hub. They're going to launch a new Max Pro fitness service. They're going to do a new partnership with ADT, one of the leaders in home security, which includes an emergency call feature, which is something could be a very much a bigger lifesaver.
Yeah, that was a big announcement. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to do a, you can be able to trigger your washing machine through your television set. And finally, and I think the announcement that nobody covered, and I mean nobody, we're going to work with a company called Sansar, S-A-N-S-A-R. I looked it up, and you can Google it or Yahoo search it.
The Metaverse.
Working on a Metaverse TV platform. This is the first time
right.
that anyone has said, we're going to do the Metaverse on the television set. It's always been the glasses, the goggles, the headsets, the PC, the smartphone, never the TV. And here we have this. And Jeff, they were done in one sentence. Nobody from ADT or Sansar showed up on the stage with them. There was no follow-up press release. There was no follow-up at all. You would think that when you make announcements like this, you back it up with follow-up press releases. Not one. Not one on any of these. And on top of that, last year, LG created a project called Home Hub, which they called a personal digital assistant on the TV set, and said nothing about it. And during the presentation, guess what? There was on the video wall behind one of the presenters, I think the person's right, there's a scene about Home Hub, and he only gets like two words about it. And it just tells me, like, who's the idiot here? What is going on? Is anyone talking to each other? And why didn't the press there say anything?
Well, nothing.
I'm still waiting to see ADT. By the way, we've reached out to ADT and Sansar to come on this program and talk about it. What goes on here?
So let me start with the LG Labs thing. That's the easiest one to cover. LG Labs is just basically a me too around what Samsung has done with their C-Space. So Samsung over the past, I got probably about 10 years now, has had an incubator, and I think they've called it and so where they basically are as an organization putting investments into companies that they believe are going to grow and meet a certain need. They're not all television based. I did not get a chance to completely walk through the LG Labs exhibit they had on the floor. I did see there was some sort of exercise fitness bicycle thing that was going on. So it could be, you know, that you can work out in front of your television and have like a virtual ride of some sort. I'm speculating. But that is a response to Samsung. That to me is sort of like, if you've been to CES, you'll recognize that over the years, despite Samsung and LG being fierce competitors, their booths always look very, very similar. This year was different because again, Samsung was really more about their connected hub and how everything connects in their environment. They're making it easier. They're putting their connected hub into a charging pad, so you literally can put your phone on to charge while you're, you know, on top of the hub that's controlling your whole house. But they were different this year. But LG's, you know, from that perspective, it's all about just me too. Samsung's doing it, so we need to do it as well. From the ADT announcement, I can't answer why they didn't have any more information about that. It was an interesting announcement. It was a one-line throwaway in the presentation. It was somebody in PR that said, oh, we did deal with ADT. Let's throw that in there. I don't think they gave much thought to that. The Metaverse stuff was interesting. It was actually three companies that they mentioned. I don't have the names of all the companies in front of me at the moment, but they mentioned that they're working with three companies on metaverse solutions for television. I wish them well. I think that will probably do better outside of the U.S. to begin with than in the U.S. You know, that part of the challenge, and I don't know how many of your listeners actually are involved in going onto a metaverse, and I'm not talking about Roblox, I'm not talking about Fortnite, but more of the Decentralands and the Sandboxes and the Thoriums of the world. You know, they sound great. They've gotten a lot of hype over the past year or two. At the end of the day, go try and navigate within that. If it's difficult to navigate within those stores, within those experiences on your desktop or laptop, I can only imagine how difficult it's going to be to navigate on your television. So we'll see what happens there and what exactly their vision is. You know, there's no question, though, 3D and immersive is a very, very big part of the future of media in general. So the idea of launching something that is immersive enough on a television set, we'll see where they take it. There's another announcement by Sony. Sony, which, again, I said before, didn't show television sets, really. They did show their PlayStation VR 2, finally out in the wild. That's coming out at the end of February. And what people continually don't understand about VR is it is actually probably about 30% of the time being utilized as a video viewing device. You know, if you're just out of college in a apartment, or you're sharing an apartment with three or four other people, you now have an IMAX screen in your bedroom when you put on the headset, and there are plenty of streaming apps. And again, with Pluto TV and things like that, live streaming channels to watch through your headset. I do it on my Quest all the time. So next year, between the PSVR 2 and the Quest 3 coming out, and HTC Vive announced another standalone headset, which should be priced around, you know, in a consumer-friendly manner, it could be another good growth year for virtual reality and screens to watch that. But Sony also announced that they're partnering with the Manchester City Football Club and a number of other football/soccer organizations across the world to create metaverses where fans can engage with players and with other fans in virtual walkthroughs and virtual areas of stadiums. So metaverse was definitely a theme across multiple manufacturers this year. And, you know, do I think that metaverse is in the trough of disillusionment a little bit when it comes to hype? Probably. Will it get past that trough? I believe so. So, you know, longer term, metaverse on television, does it have a place? Maybe. And we'll see what they have planned. You know, that was definitely, it's still in the zeitgeist of the manufacturers to not miss out if it does scale.
And one final thing before we take a break and go into our second half hour, to LG. If you're going to talk about Home Hub, how about coming out with a press release about it? This, by the way, is directed at LG management and their PR people. Stop not saying anything about it. Get a press release out about it. If you're going to talk about it, and if you want people to use your product on the television set, say something about it. I did a comment, by the way, Jeff, last week. We have a new feature now on the program called Something I'd Like to See, and I said it's time for smart TV sets to be more public. With the public. And the LG Home Hub situation is a great example of how a thing that was announced last year did not come up with anything about it. We still are waiting a year, and we still don't know what it is. And again, it just shows up out of nowhere. It's really amazing. We come back.
Well, I will say one thing that both
– Go ahead.
I'll say one thing that both Samsung and LG talked about was being Matter compliant. And I don't know if your listeners know what Matter is. But Matter is a standards platform for smart devices. And now with Samsung, and I'm 90% sure LG said it as well, that they're going to be compliant with Matter, those will allow the home hubs to be able to connect to devices from any manufacturer. And I think that's going to be important because I installed smart lights this year, and it, you know, just updating them is a pain because you have four or five different apps. Now that they are all becoming Matter compliant, it'll make it easier for updating. It'll be easier to be able to view information and data that it produces on your television set, regardless of what device it is. So if it's not an LG or a Samsung smart switch, you'll still be able to get that data through their hubs. But you're right, they should be more transparent.
Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to get to Samsung's situation. Did Samsung say all it was going to say about turning their smart TV sets into smart home hubs, or did they sort of beat around the bush in their presentation? We'll get into that. Also, where was Vizio? Where was the Comcast Charter Ventures, Zumo, and et cetera, and Roku's role in CES? And we'll get, if we have time, Jeff's thoughts about how the TV role will innovate this coming year. We'll get to all of that, plus our classic trivia question of the week. Looking for our third weekly winner in a row. We'll get to all that with Jeff Minsky after pause, after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Twitter.com, Tune.com. Together we reach over 75 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Post Time with the Greek. He's got all the details about a super and big wild card weekend that starts tomorrow afternoon. He is on the air on BTR tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. We're back with Jeff Minsky, the chief technology columnist at Media Village. And we welcome those of you joining us after the bottom of the hour. This is Simon Applebaum with you live for New York. It's largely televised, the promo TV's current and future. And, Jeff, I want to get to what Samsung had to say. It sounded like in their Media Day presentation that they were coming out with a message that we are now all in on turning our smart TV sets into hubs where people can control a lot of other things in their home or apartment. And here's what they announced in their particular. For example, to do, for example, smart things, energy, certain things like sound things, pet care. Smart things, by the way, is their smart TV home hub operating system. A smart trainer, which they did say was going on the television set. Smart things cooking, which is already on some of their appliances, but they didn't suggest how soon it will become the Samsung TV Plus. The chat together feature, a video chat system. We're talking about people watching TV together. How about video chat together? Also, the idea of future possibilities of having digital maps on the television set and personal artwork and a number of other things. And again, once again, they didn't make it clear in the presentation. This is all coming to your television set, and there was not one press release after the fact, and there still isn't one on Samsung's newsroom website about all these smart TV, smart hub features that supposedly are coming to your television. Plus, they were supposed to announce their move into the telehealth field on the television set, and that never happened. Your thoughts about what Samsung did?
So, yeah, again, I think the Samsung presentations were underwhelming. I think that was my biggest feeling coming out of it. To your point, I think the most interesting thing they announced, which I just chuckle about because one of their biggest announcements was the fact that they're putting a camera in their ovens with AI. And again, I should just reemphasize, one of the major themes of CES this year was AI is built into almost everything, from your television set to your oven to your refrigerator to your personal health care. Across the board, the story was, pre-pandemic, AI was really Google Assistant versus Amazon Alexa, and even though they weren't there, Siri. That has gotten to be far more ubiquitous, just standard AI built into pretty much every device. And so with the oven that Samsung announced, the idea is it can recognize up to 80 different types of foods that you put into your oven, and it will then give you back a recommendation on what temperature and how long to cook that in. So that was interesting. Okay, great. So there's AI helping determine, so you don't burn your food or undercook it. At the same time, everyone was talking about the fact because there's a camera there now inside the oven, the creator economy and all your food bloggers and your chefs are absolutely going to be posting and streaming live muffins baking and cookies and souffles. So here's your new content for both for whatever screen, but also television, if you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, to be able to get live streaming from my oven. To me, that's like watching paint dry, but I didn't think people would watch other people play video games either. So clearly, what do I know? So I think that's a, yes, there was some of the SmartThings Hub that was integrated into their presentation. They gave a little bit of detail about. And as I mentioned earlier, the big thing is that they've encapsulated all the technology that runs their SmartThings Hub into a puck-like device that you can charge your phone on. Wow, okay, great, terrific. But there wasn't much to talk about. When it comes to some of the other things you were mentioning, they probably could have gone into a little bit more detail, but there's no question. It's all part of the pattern. There's nothing left to do to televisions. So what are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about sustainability. You're going to talk about your connected home devices. Could they have gone into this a little bit more detail? Maybe. But that was where they truly focused on. I think the interesting thing back to LG for a second was, besides the wireless television, they were talking about their mood lighting for your refrigerators. We'll get back to that. But, mood lighting for the refrigerators, which I still don't get, but it was sort of a play to counter the Samsung's successful bespoke line of home appliances. But let me go back to Samsung for a second. Sorry for ping-ponging. But another big announcement was this idea that they are changing the screen size on their refrigerator from a 21-inch to a 32-inch screen. And that's pretty much the size of most smaller televisions in the past with 32 inches. And so you really have a television on your refrigerator. And the other big announcement there is they're integrating with Samsung TV Plus. So those live fast channels are now available on your television set if you don't happen to have a TV in your kitchen already. So there, the television isn't just going to be the shape, form factors that you are used to. It is now also in your refrigerator. And again, I go back to years ago when we started to see the prototypes of this stuff. Everybody would roll their eyes and go, who needs a screen on the refrigerator? Why do I really need that? And yet I have, and this is a bad focus group, but focus group of my friends and some relatives of ours, they buy them. They're out there. They're purchasing them. So it's starting to scale. I'm not going to say it's huge scale yet. I don't believe it is. But you're starting to see this morphing of what a home refrigerator looks like, and it encapsulates a television set.
By the way, if you have a question or comment with Jeff, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Use the chat room, sign up with 04 by name. Before moving on to the other smart TV set makers, I want to offer two other announcements that I thought people dropped the ball on. One was Hisense, who started their own Media Day presentation with this. This is a declaration. We are going to create a connected ecosystem between its smart TV sets and appliances. And then the rest of the presentation didn't do it, number one. And they also announced the fact that they are going to have Google TV as an operating system in some of the newest sets, including the ULED X models, available this spring. And again, didn't say much about what the features are going to carry. Then TCL made a deal with Samba TV to develop, and this is really far-reaching, it's a research and development tank that's going to develop these advanced artificial intelligence applications for television, not just audio, which I think has been a game changer for interactive TV, the ability to use your voice to control the set by using Alexa, Google Assistant, Siri, et cetera, but also artificial intelligent video, which could really be a hybrid, which really could be a game changer. Again, no press release on this, no press release on either. We're still trying to reach Hisense in China about what they said. And again, another example of people making announcements and the PR people not being ready at the helm to talk more about them in some way. But I just have couple final thoughts, and I want to get your thoughts about this. This is what I would recommend in future CESs to the smart TV set makers. Number one, if you are going to make an announcement, don't make it in a sentence or a half sentence. Detail what you're doing and come out with a press release about the particular situation you're doing. And I would also suggest that when your executives walk off the stage, they walk right into a press conference where we, the press, can talk with them. These Media Day events, Jeff, are not press conferences. They are press showcases. They're presentations. There's no feedback. The whole idea of a press conference is to confer with the press, interaction, and they're not doing that. And CES needs to make that happen. Two things.
I will not disagree with you on that. In fact, Simon, I walked out of most of the press conferences feeling like I was at a keynote, not a press conference. And I think that was definitely the feel there. So I don't disagree with you. I will say, look, CES is part pageantry, part real announcements. We all know that if you look back at the history of CES, the hero product of many of the years has flopped throughout the decades. So part of it is show. And hopefully they have enough of the relationships worked out to make it real. I want to comment on your comment about TCL and Samba. Part of what they're going to be doing, from my understanding, is and the reason they're doing this artificial intelligence and personalization, customization, is television still remains the one digital medium that is one to many and not just one to one. And so, I see this all the time when I go onto YouTube on my television, and all of a sudden I've got, recommendations for kids shows that my kids are using, because they're not logging in with their login, they're using mine. So I think what Samba is trying to do, because Samba as an identity graph company wants to get down to that, multi-screen cross-platform, reach and frequency number for advertising. They are partnering with TCL to see if there is a way to get it from a one-to-many number to a one-to-one without violating privacy restrictions. And that's going to be the challenge. That is a big part of why they're partnering up on that.
Yeah. Before I ask you about your general thoughts about how TV is going to innovate this year, talk about some of the people who didn't do press showcases. Roku, for example, really said all it had to say about the news TV sets they're doing in a press release. So did Xumo, which is the Comcast Charter Communications joint venture, which is also going to launch an operating system and new sets, looks like this spring as well. And then you had Vizio, which seemed to be nowhere.
Well, let's talk about Roku for a second, because Roku did make a pretty big announcement, and they did get a lot of press on this. Yeah, so they're going to actually manufacture their own TV set. I did get a chance to speak with somebody at Roku very briefly, and that TV set will be available in the spring and is going to be targeting lower tier. It's a lower tier target, so it's not a premium TV set. It's going to be closer to what they've been producing for Walmart and for Costco, or for Walmart and Sam's Club over the past couple of years, but they're not working with TCL or Hisense to make it. They're manufacturing it on their own. So we'll see what that goes. That may go, again, back to my whole point about there being potentially legislation regarding the collection of data when it comes to Chinese TV sets. And I think that's a real story to be watching this year, kind of jumping ahead to where what your next topic was. Vizio is never on the show floor. I mean, they used to be in South Hall in a little corner. They have never had a huge presence at CES. I saw some truck running around that might have been a mobile exhibit thing that they were doing. Maybe they were there on that end, but that's not a surprise that Vizio didn't have a big presence there. When you talk about Xumo and some of the and Comcast, they're there, but they're there in suites talking to their advertisers. They don't really have the need to buy and pay CES for major booth space, although it's possible. I've got to double check, but I thought Xumo might have had space in the Aria, which is where the advertising conference generally happens. So they were present, they were there, but they weren't necessarily a large presence.
I just thought of something, Jeff. Amazon Fire TV. We didn't hear from them either at the show.
We did not hear from Amazon Fire TV. We saw them in the Amazon always usually has a showcase at the Venetian, and I walked through that, and it's their vision of the future, and as part of their home of the future, of course, Amazon Fire TV was there, but it was not a separate thing. They didn't talk about programming. They didn't talk about new shows, and that seemed to be kind of just continuing evolution. The only one that really talked about the major evolution in their interface was LG. WebOS, I have to tell you, looks a lot cleaner. It's a lot more navigable. Again, they announced something called Quick Cards that will allow you to choose categories and get to the content that you're trying to get to quickly. And so I think there's a lot of work that LG announced and has been done there. But the others, you look at a Comcast Xfinity Flex, you look at a You know, some of the others like TiVo was there. Xperi, which owns TiVo, was demoing. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to go see it, but was demoing a television with a TiVo built interface. And so they're trying to come back on that end. But these are all, again, you know, I can't say they won't work because, as I mentioned before, the evolution of Central Hall has always been is dynamic. You know, U.S., Japan, Korea, China, will some of these other third-tier players, they're putting OSs into televisions that succeed? Possibly, maybe not in the U.S., maybe in a different market. But it's unlikely. I mean, I think really the barriers to entry, you know, now that there's no real new innovation in the glass and people are going to be accustomed and connected to their fast channels, to their to the smart apps, to, you know, various different things that are going to be, you're going to see a lot of fighting for our proprietary content in the interface because that's the only point of differentiation now. So it's going to be very tough for those smaller players to come in.
I'm sorry, just interrupted. LG should get credit for telehealth because they have Independa, which is one of the first telehealth services on the television set. There's another one that Comcast is a co-owner in. They're on LG. So LG should get credit for being a forerunner in telehealth service. And I wish they could have said more about what their future plans are. I know other people want to get into the marketplace.
Yep. And by the way, Simon, I think, you know, to your point about the press conferences, yeah, I agree they shouldn't be shows. In fact, we could talk another time, not today, about the huge fail that happened to Panasonic. But the press conferences are limited to 1 hour, or actually 50 minutes. And part of that is because there's so many and they're trying to pack so many into the day. So while you're right that the PR groups and the marketing groups may not be optimizing that hour in the most efficient way, a lot of it is also probably dictated by the amount of things that they want to talk about and how much time they can give to each topic. So there is that logistical, practical reason as well.
Got it. Right. Okay, so before we go, what's your sense about how the technology of TV, particularly interactivity, is going to evolve this year? We understand that Apple TV Plus is very close to announcing a GameStar Plus, the service that Steve Harvey's investor in, is going to go on their set-tops. We understand that Fireside, the Mark Cuban-backed venture of interactivity with interactive programming that's worked very well on smartphones. They're very close to going on smart TV sets. There was no announcement at CES about them. You get a sense that we may see telehealth education go or teleedutainment. There may be some players popping up there. And there's still a possibility that we may see Netflix use their video game experience to maybe make a comeback with interactive content. Maybe other people like Amazon and others do other things like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a couple things when it comes to you didn't even mention Next Gen TV and ATSC 3, which, you know, had a space of that. I didn't see any major announcements for them. I just may not have gotten to it. But they had a space there. I did get a chance to stop by. They have a number of dongles for those who are not buying new television sets that hopefully by mid-year will be available to the masses to upgrade your television set. So the over-the-air television now has interactivity in it. There were more televisions that were next-gen TV enabled, but from talking to the groups there, my sense is that by next year is when you'll see the big year of every television, for the most part, being ATSC 3 next-gen TV available. So I think that's to come. I know it's frustrating. It's frustrating to me, who's been following this for many years, that it hasn't happened already, but it continues its to march on, and broadcasters are starting to that, you know, every day they're announcing more cities that are broadcasting in next gen, and some broadcasters are starting to do some very interesting testing on how to make their content interactive and provide greater value to consumers. So that I think this year will continue to see evolve and grow. To your point about gaming on television sets, there's no question that's going to continue. And I think in particular Sony's announcement that they no longer have a supply chain issue for PS5. Is going, even though that's not directly built into the set, is going to bring more gaming to the set this year. But I'm, you know, to me, this is the year. This isn't the year of new. This is the year of adoption. This is the year that more people explore what's already on their sets and start to use it to a greater degree, partially economically driven. The fact is that as people are still watching their money, and even though inflation might be down, we're still seeing calls of a recession coming, or we're in. And so if there are economic and financial challenges, more people are going to lean into AVOD, whether it's, again, FAST or whether it's just ad-supported video on demand. You're going to continue to see people lean more and more into that. And obviously with the announcement of YouTube TV getting the NFL Sunday Ticket, I anticipate that we'll see more transition, certainly as October comes around next year, September, October, to people sort of going and second guessing on whether or not they should cut the cord if they haven't already. I would assume that with YouTube TV's investment in Sunday Ticket, that they're going to do a big promotional thing to give you a few months lower cost or for free to get you aboard come preseason next year.
Yeah, Jeff, you bet. And also keep your eye on interactive advertising. This may be the year that the ad community really embraces it, especially if Roku and Walmart's test where you can buy and order Walmart products using the television set, not a smartphone, not a tablet, and a QR code. If that works, you're going to see a major push by Roku and by others to do similar formats. This is only Disney as an ad tech showcase coming up near the end of the month, and I'll be following it for Media Village, just to let you know. If you want more of Jeff's great work, and I mean really great work, covering the tech scene, check out www.mediavillage.com. It's www.mediavillage.com. Jeff Minsky, thank you very much for some wonderful, fantastic insights over the last hour about CS 2023, and we'll be going to the TV world from here, and I wish you a fantastic year ahead.
Right back at you, Simon. I'll see you at the Disney event.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Jeff Minsky joining us live from Livingston, New Jersey. Quickly before we go, let's give you the classic trivia question. Who was the Green Hornet on that ABC series that ran from 1966-67 and was the jumping-off point for the career of Bruce Lee? Who was the Green Hornet? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. First person emails the correct answer gets an AMC Networks notepad and a notepad case, again provided by AMC Networks. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. First email or winner gets it. And if you don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post a question of the weekend starting on Saturday at Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum, Twitter UBC Simon, TWBT. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks again to Jeff for being with us. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune and Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. If you're celebrating the Martin Luther King holiday weekend, we hope you have a fantastic weekend. And we'll see you then. And whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And remember, the views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio or other services of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Dave Sonnenberg is head of content. For tomorrow be televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Again, have a fantastic weekend. Back on Monday and next Friday. And you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations and our website. Check it out. Tomorrow will be televised.onpodium.com. Remember, hyphens between the words. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.